Welcome to the weekly hotspot, kink conversation, BDSM advice, inside the world of distance domination and phone sex. We are your hosts. I'm Mistress Olivia, and I'm here with Ms. Delia. Ms. Delia, it is so great to do this again with you.
Oh, just likewise. I always have fun talking about things with you so we can bring it to our audience.
I love it when our audience interacts with us. Right? So this is a fabulous question that you and I got in an email recently. We do a lot of two mistress calls together, and people know that we love teaming up with one another just because you're my bestie.
Actually, yes.
I love you in a kinky and non-kinky way.
Same.
Yeah, we've also shared recipe tips, but I will say the most fun tips are, oh my God, did you try this lube? No, I didn't. What's the name of that lube again? That's when it's very fun. Okay, so we got this question from a listener. Now, we've been talking and designing a scene and kind of flirting back and forth, but then he sends this. Serious question. I'm divorced, single, and I would love to find a dominant woman. It's a hard thing to pull off. Most women that I have found are not into that. So I'm at a loss on what to do. Any advice? Now, this guy is just a submissive guy. I say just, but he's a submissive guy. He's kinky. He's into some non-traditional stuff, but he's not out there. He's just very definitely into a little bit more than vanilla. And a similar comment from Yvonne, who is this wonderful and fabulous crossdresser who's just amazing and has been single for years, who says, ladies like you are few and far between in my experience. So, couple questions, Delia. Do you think we're few and far between? And where do they find us?
Oh, isn't that just a good question? I do think women like us might be few and far between, but I also think it's a little more complicated than that. I think it really matters where you look. I really do think that the internet and online boards and things can suck, but they do have their place. I tend to like fetish events and things of that nature getting out there. And unfortunately, I think if you are looking for some kind of kink, at some point you're going to have to people, and not a lot of people who are kinky, you know, just love to go out and interact with people. So I think that it's not just as easy. It's not such a simple question as where do I go? You know, like you go to the local box store or something to find a dominant woman. You just can't. I wish you could, but you can't. But I think it's a little bit more than that. You have to be willing to look and weed through different ads and forums and online kinds of things. And you've really, really got to have something that I don't have a lot of, patience. You have to have patience and that desire to just not quit and to go after what you're going after.
You bring up like a ton of great topics. So let's kind of unpack that and take those and hopefully even give him kind of some actionable events.
Yeah.
Some actionable types of things that he can do and try. Not just him, but other people. This is a topic that a great guy that I met on Twitter brought up, at Dirk Hooper. And I recommend everybody should follow him. He's fabulous. He posts and reposts wonderful things. And so he posted this thing from someone who said, where do I find a dom who is not a pro dom? A dom that I can date. And various pro doms weighed in. I weighed in. I got to talking with this submissive who basically says the same thing. Mm-hmm. Most women that I've found are not into that. And where do I find them? So I think you bring up a very good point. We are not at the box store, although we might be at the box store, but we are not wearing thigh-high latex fetish boots.
Truth.
Yes.
Yeah. We go out in the world and other dominant women go out in the world as well. And, you know, we don't wear our fetish wear out, sadly. It's not easy. We don't have a badge. There's no light above our head. So yeah, it can be hard to spot us.
One of the things in the thread that Dirk Cooper inspired, I'm talking to this dominant and she's like, this submissive. And she said, so where do I meet people? Like, should I maybe just go to Starbucks and sit there and maybe approach someone who seems dominant? And I was like, that'll get you thrown out of Starbucks. Like, don't search for a fetish kinky person in a vanilla environment.
Right.
It's sort of like, it's similar. If you, and this is what I wrote back to the submissive, I said, you know what? If you want to buy an SUV, chances are you don't go to a motorcycle dealership. Mm-hmm. You go to an SUV dealership.
Right.
You don't go to a motorcycle dealership or the department store and say, God, I'm just striking out all over the place. I'm not able to buy an SUV at this department store. Well, no shit. They don't sell SUVs
right.
at the department right. store. You might happen along to somebody who happens to be selling an SUV, but it's going to be the atypical event, right?
Few and far between, you know, and I have moved a few times in the last, about 10 years? I think 3 times I have moved. And I actually have experienced this very question, where do I meet people when I've moved? And I'll tell you a little bit about what I have done. I mean, I don't go out and just look for people. And you're right, in Starbucks, you're not going to find someone in general, unless, you know, they're having like a munch at Starbucks. And munches are get-togethers of kinky people. And if you type into a search engine, munches in, and then you put your area, I think most people will come up with a little bit of a list of people meeting munches, maybe a schedule of things that are around them.
Just a second. You can also type in to your search engine, BDSM group plus your city.
Yep.
And that'll give you a list. And then they will sit there and say, we have these classes, we have these events, and we have, generally it's once a month, a munch, M-U-N-C-H. And it is a non-fetish event. So explain like what a munch is.
So the munches that I have gone to have all been inside of some kind of restaurant, usually that has, you know, a little small room in the back. The munch, M-U-N-C-H, meets in that back room. You just go in plain old vanilla clothes. You go in there. You kind of have to. You have to look at people, introduce yourself, talk to people a little bit, and get to know a little bit about them. Usually
if
they have
you go in, name if you tag. Go in presenting yourself like, hey, I'm here to fuck.
Yeah, you get thrown out.
You will be either escorted out or you will definitely not be invited to the play party.
Right, right.
The munch is for you to take a look at them, but it's also, in my experience, them to take a look at you. Now, let me be very clear. They are not looking at whether or not you are hot or cute or tall or short or old or young. None of that physical appearance matters in my experience. So don't get freaked out about that. What they care is, how are you conducting yourself?
Right.
Did you wear something inappropriate? Are you going to be a dangerous person to play with because you're an idiot?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you acting skeevy to the wait staff? Are you presenting yourself like a smarmy kind of person? Do that and you won't be invited for the play party. The right. munch will be it.
No, I think that's very good. You know, very, very well said, because basic manners and basic politeness really, really do. They do so much matter in all of this. And I can tell you, I've been to one munch. It was at a lovely restaurant, you know, kind of a sports bar kind of thing. And this was down in Florida. And a couple of people went out and started fooling around in the parking lot. And the munch itself was never invited back to that restaurant. They were banned. So I had to find another place to meet up with people. But know that when you are at munch, your behavior can have consequences for the entire group. You're there to meet people, not to play, not to get dirty.
And you're experienced in the fetish community. Mm-hmm. You've been to a ton of conventions, a ton of different groups. You are active in the community. You know a bunch of people. Would you ever want to play in a group that has people that are being so stupid as to play sexual, and not even play? This isn't BDSM play. This is like exhibitionist stupid sex mm-hmm. in a vanilla parking lot. And you run the risk of being arrested.
Right.
Would you ever want to go back and play with that group? I wouldn't.
No. I really like munches that have online very established rules. So this is something that, as a submissive going into a munch, our listeners could really kind of grab onto. Look at what they have up front, not just the time and a place, but generally a set of rules, behavior expectations, guidelines. If it's more helpful to you to kind of get you there, it'll probably be more welcoming and helpful and wonderful in that munch.
You also want to have munches and groups that have limits. So one of the yes. follow-up questions was, how do you know it's a safe group of people? And this is one of the ways for you as a prospective submissive or dominant finding a face-to-face fetish group. This is one of the ways you know how they conduct themselves and what limits, boundaries, expectations they are willing to tell you beforehand. They may or may not post all of this on their website, but a lot of times in my experience going to different munches, some groups don't post all of that up front, but they will tell you, these are the expectations, these are the do's and don'ts in the email that gives you the location at the munch. Each group is different. Some right. will say we meet at X place the third Thursday evening of the month. Just meet us there. And then you're kind of expected, you know, show up and be responsible and reasonable. Other places are even more discreet. So it depends on your area and how big the city is.
Oh, I think that's very true. In a very busy city, a large city, a bigger place, you will find probably a few different groups. I have seen in my area, some groups go by age. So you've got, you know, some of the older people, and then there's, you know, the younger crowd, the very new people. And that can be very important for people to look at when they're deciding which munch to go to. Look at the code of conduct, look at the description really well, look at who they're asking for to come. Because if you're older, more mature, well established as a submissive, you might not want to be in a, I guess, beginner group. So that's a thought.
When you talk about age and newness, one thing to remember, some groups do in fact separate by physical age. So at one convention I went to, they had a group called TNG, The Next Generation.
Yep.
So it's a Star Trek reference, mm-hmm. The Next Generation. And that can be anywhere from 30 and under to 35 and under. And if you are older than 35, do not show up there. That is so incredibly rude and will get you a very smarmy reputation in the kink community. But other munches, I haven't really been to one that says this is only for new people. They do that for classes. Mm-hmm. You know, there'll be a class at an established group that'll say something like, are you new to bondage? This class is for you. It's just like going to how to do your taxes for small businesses 101, meet in atrium number 3.
Right.
It's exactly like that. And it's absolutely hysterical, I think.
Oh, I have seen something like that a couple of times in the new kind of groups that I've seen. It's more so been an informal kind of questions and answers, like a Q&A type session for coffee somewhere, just very much like what you are saying, Olivia, so much. And then people come in and they're new, but generally the people who host that also have a different kind of group or munch. And when they meet with people, that's kind of the way that they get to know them, which is a little different than, I would say, vetting someone for a munch or a play party. And being vetted is something that also might very well happen at a munch or a group meeting. I've been vetted.
Have you ever seen people that went to a munch, behaved badly in some way, and been not invited to the play party?
Yeah.
I have. Have you?
I've seen that. I've
give
seen
an example of that so people can really get what you're saying.
So I was at this one play party, not a play party, a munch before a play party that was going to be that weekend. And we were talking about things and we were having just, you know, kind of a very relaxed, open, just gentle kind of night. It was very easygoing. And there was this one person, a gentleman who came along, and we had name tags. If you had a name tag that was in red, you were dominant. If your name tag was in black, you were submissive. And there were a couple of other colors to indicate, you know, switching and different things. Okay. So it was all name tag based. And this person was approaching every single person who had a red name tag on. I was one of them, and it was males or females. And he basically had written up a resume about himself and was handing that out to the doms, male or female. And it was just this really explicit, almost kind of creepy resume. And it was given to one of the munch leaders, and he wasn't asked to go anywhere. I never really saw him after that.
I understand that level of desperation.
Right.
Believe me, I understand that. And don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly like meeting someone online, say Match.com or OkCupid, and you meet them for coffee. And when you sit down for coffee with this person, it's not even a date, it's just coffee, and you either hand them the resume or you look at them and you say, so I definitely want to have children. I want to be married within the next year. And I will expect for us to handle our end of life directives pretty quickly.
Mm.
You take cream in your coffee, the other person is going to be looking at you and saying, what the fuck, man?
Yeah.
I just want a coffee. Like, it's way too much.
Oh, I completely agree. I completely agree. Another thing that you can do to kind of test the waters, a lot of munches, a lot of places in the community are on FetLife, F like Frank, E-T Life, FetLife.com. And that's a nice kinky kind of Facebook-y time kind of place, but for fetishes and kinks. And if you are on there, you can look up your general area and find all the munches that are in there. And same thing as with being in person or meeting in a munch online, everything that you say and do really does matter. How you come across, even how intense, like say your online profile would be. You don't want to make that too specific. I don't know if specific is a word, but just too much.
Detailed.
Yeah.
Too detailed. I was talking with someone who is going to a brand new group who wanted advice. And I said, think of it like a business elevator speech. It's 20 seconds long, maybe tops. You give the absolute highlights enough to, so if they match up at all, then they will begin to ask questions. So instead of saying, I like corporal punishment. I really enjoy flogging, spanking, over the knee, but I'm not into caning, cat of nine tails, or any form of whipping. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't lead with that amount of detail. You'll say something like, I'm new to BDSM and kink. I definitely know I like it. I'm submissive. I'm curious about bondage, but I know that I like spanking. And so far, I've tried over-the-knee spanking and some mild flogging, but I'd like to learn more. That's all you say.
Yep, that's perfect.
Instead of going into, these are the implements I've tried. These are the things I want. These are the things I don't want. You know, you know what, Delia? It's hard because
it really is.
People have had this fantasy for years and years and years, and it's lived at and grown as this solo fantasy in the submissive's head. And then finally, you're in a place where you can begin to talk about these things. I think it's like a starving person going to a buffet for the first time and going, holy shit, I can have all of this, and just gorging themselves, yeah. You know?
Oh, yeah, completely. The other thing that I was thinking of when you were speaking, Olivia, was in profiles when they're written up, I think it's a good idea to stay away from, I'm just looking for a dominant woman. That's all I want at this time. Because I think that, yes, is what you are looking for as a submissive, ultimately. But if you can say that you are new and you're looking to find a good group of people, you're looking to find someone to talk to, that can help you out a lot more than just being so final in what you write down. I just want a dominant woman.
What a great point, because as I say to everybody, submissives know other dominants.
Oh, yeah.
And a submissive will say to his or her dominant, hey, I met this really great submissive. Do you think Dom Mike would enjoy this submissive? Do you want to do an invite? It's like matchmaking. It's like any other group. Hey, I have someone that I just met that I think you might be interested in. You never know where the recommendation is going to come from.
Right.
That's a great point.
I think so too. And I know personally, if I'm looking online and I see someone new who's been there, and a little caveat to that, I haven't been looking for probably a year. I haven't really been active in online fetish communities or anything for about a year. I took a little bit of a step back when I started doing my marathon training. And after that, I might kind of get back to it. But it's just been, I don't know, sometimes life gets in the way, so it's been too much. But what was I saying?
Well, wait a minute. Let's pause about that for a second.
Okay.
I signed up and said, I'm a femdom. I did this profile and everything, and I would wake up to, one day I woke up to 200 messages in my inbox. It was so overwhelming. And remember, these are not business emails. You and I both get paid to do this in distance domination. And we're great about responding to emails, responding to requests, et cetera, for our time. But we end up getting paid for our time. So if you wake up to 10 emails per day and start answering those emails for free, that is at only 6 minutes per answer. That is a full hour to an hour and a half that you are spending unpaid just chatting with people. It's not realistic. And so I actually bounced off of FetLife and now will connect with some people on FetLife, but I know them first.
Right.
And I think for somebody new, I actually don't recommend that they immediately get on FetLife. You can, but you bring up a great point. Get on, do a profile. I'm looking to connect with like-minded people in my area and leave it at that. Don't even say if you're submissive or dominant, just leave it at that. And so you have a profile so that you can get into the boards and look because there's a lot of people, there are pro-doms on there. There are skeezy people. There are women pretending to be men. Actually, that hasn't been the case. There are men pretending to be women.
Yeah.
It's just until you know the lay of the land, FetLife can be interesting.
Interesting. Oh, yes. And you know what? Just bringing up what you brought up, men pretending to be women. If you get on to, say, FetLife or alt.com or some other kind of online kinky, fetishy kind of forum, and a woman gets in touch with you and wants you to be her submissive, you might think that is your dream come true, right? But then she tells you, you need to go ahead and if I'm going to play with you, I'm going to need you to buy my package of stuff, the toys that I like. So you're going to have to buy those. That's a scam. And I have heard that from in the past couple of months. It must be something new that's going on. Two or three people have actually talked to me about that. And I don't think it's women at all. It might be guys or bots or something like that.
I've also heard of a bunch of people, the woman, the supposed woman responds to someone and they get very, very close and, you know, they're cyber sexing and all of this kind of stuff. And she starts saying things like, well, you need to send me money. You need to put it in a PayPal account or Venmo me or all of this other kind or send me gift cards. Here's the thing, and I'm just going to be blunt about this. If you are paying for sex, go to a professional. You pay for the sex or the experience or the BDSM time, etc. But you can have an honest conversation about what you get for your money.
Right.
If you are with someone who says, oh, I just don't want to meet you because I'm unable to pay my rent this month and it's so distracting. You are paying for it, but you don't know what you're getting, if anything.
Yeah, you're not getting anything and except used in that kind of example.
Exactly. So we could talk a ton about this, and you know what? We're actually going to do a couple more podcasts about this because we have just barely begun to scratch the surface. I think this is like a really rich vein of all kinds of stuff.
I think
but for now, Delia, thank you so much for your advice and your insight. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you to all of you for joining us. The audio and transcript is on theweeklyhotspot.com. We love getting your questions and comments on email, like the question that inspired this podcast. My email is olivia@enchantrixempire.com. Delia's email is delia@enchantrixempire.com. And join us on Twitter. I'm @MistressOlivia1. Delia is @EmpressDelia. Reach out, talk to us, tell us what's on your mind. Let's talk about it. And we promise we will answer your emails and your tweets, right, Delia?
Absolutely.
Yay. And then we might talk about you on the Weekly Hotspot. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Welcome to the Weekly Hotspot, kink conversation, BDSM advice, inside the world of distance domination and phone sex. We are your hosts. I'm Mistress Delia.
Oh my God.
You're Mistress Delia. I'm Miss Olivia. Mm-hmm. Okay then.
That's our blooper.
Okay.
I love it.